Right, well, it's time for book club, and we're back to children's books today, and a particular book that we feel quite connected to on this show because we first shared the story of its authors around about 2 years ago. It was back in April 2019 that we spoke to Lisa Templeton, a freelance writer who in her early 50s had rediscovered her earlier love of ballet and had started dancing again, just as something to do for herself, for the pure joy of it. And she told us during that interview how much joy it gave her to rediscover that passion of her younger years amid all the chaos of her life as a working mom, to find and make time for something that was for her enjoyment and enrichment only. And she went on to fulfill her lifelong dream of dancing on stage in a production at the Artscape. It was just such an inspiring interview to listen to that made all of us feel like it's never too late to keep on chasing your dreams. That was really the importance of that interview that day. And during that interview, Lisa mentioned to us that another dream of hers was to publish a book. And I'm happy to say she's now ticked that one off her list as well, because she has partnered with ballerina Laura Bosenberg to publish the first in what we hope is going to be a series of books about a character called Ballet Betty. Laura, of course, you know, is a former star of our own Cape Town City Ballet. She too spoke to us at her retirement in 2019. And I know many of our listeners have loved watching her perform over the years. So it's a great pleasure to welcome both of them to the show today to tell us about their new role as authors. Lisa and Laura, welcome both of you to Cape Talk.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
To have you back again, Laura, and to you as well, Lisa.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to be back with you. I was looking forward to it.
Well, us too. I'm sorry it's taken us so long to find a date that we could make it happen. Lisa, before we talk about the book itself, just remind us how you and Laura came to work on this together in the first place.
She was always my hero. She had the life I wanted, the prima ballerina, so beautiful. Laura would just pop out of on stage and the audience would go mad. And she was in a production of Peter Pan, and my daughter was in it as a child, you know, one of the children they bring into Christmas productions. Mm-hmm. And Laura had these little cards that had beautiful drawings on of this little character called Ballet Betty. She had various sort of items out in the foyer to buy.
Yes.
And I kept going past, but I was so intimidated by her because she was the star, that I never plucked up the courage until the very last performance to kind of keep going along the table. And then I said, would you like to do a book with me?
And Laura, what did you say when the mad author approached you over the table and said, I want this character in my book?
I looked at Lisa and I said, I love collaborations. and we met for coffee and just gelled. We have the same sense of humor. We were just giggling through our meeting and it just felt so right. And ever since then, we have collaborated on Ballet Betty and are just having so much fun with it.
I mean, you can see that in the book itself, the humor that you talk about weaves through it. It's humor that the kids are going to love, but there's also, I think what you've nailed in this book is a level of humor that the parents and grandparents will appreciate as much as the young readers who are there for the story. Lisa, I think before we do anything else, let's talk about the story without giving too much away. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about the first book, Ballet Betty Lands a Plum Roll?
Yes, so Betty is a character, Shane, who's going, she's got a bit of a beleaguered career because we're now on her second book. Laura's illustrating it.
Okay.
She is a young, ambitious dancer, and she's got a little dog called Kevin who's possibly even more ambitious. And her big dream is to be the fairy in the Christmas ballet, but alas, she's cast as a plum pudding. And then things even go further wrong. But it's got a lovely moral to the story because all works out well for everybody.
It's gorgeous. I'm not going to give away other than to say that there is a pudding pas de deux on a scale that you would not have expected. It's absolutely gorgeous. And as you say, the moral message is that life doesn't always work out the way we hope for, but sometimes what does come along instead is even better than what we thought was going to happen initially. It's a lovely, uplifting story. And Laura, I mean, I would imagine it's a sort of a tone that's going to appeal to parents in terms of the message that, you know, you don't always have to be the starring role to find the thing that you're good at that makes people respond to you positively.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we always get told whatever you're cast to do in the production, be the best you can be with that role. You never know who's going to watch. You never know who the audience might pick out as their favorite. And just because you aren't always the star doesn't mean you won't be a highlight or won't eventually get to be the star.
I wonder how much of this is autobiographical, given that this is your character or your characters that you created, because there's Betty and there's a little dog, Kevin, is really crucial as well. Were you ever cast as the plum pudding, Laura?
Unfortunately, I never got to experience the plum pudding. I think I would have had lots of fun with it. But I did do many roles that were kind of in the background, and it was just so much fun to create my own character with it. Of course, our favourites were always the fairy, but it was lots of fun doing all sorts of roles throughout my career.
Okay. Lisa, I know it wasn't an easy job to get the book to print. Betty, you guys had your disappointments along the way as part of that process, didn't you?
Yeah, so exactly like Betty, and I think anybody out there listening that's got a dream that's trying to make it come true, you know, you often have to go a roundabout route. So Laura and I, being who we are, decided we're going to go big or go home. So I'm afraid to tell you, we wrote to the biggest agents in London. When I think about it now, I blush at our audacity. So the first one I wrote to was Caroline Sheldon, who does Julia Donaldson's books. That would be the Gruffalo.
Yes.
You know, as well know.
Might as well start at the top, Lisa.
Well, yeah, exactly. And now I think I wrote Dear Caroline. I think, what on earth was I thinking? And I remember phoning Lauren saying, I've sent it off. I've pressed go. I'm going to have a glass of wine, you know, get over this. So we did her. We did Neil Blair, who's J.K. Rowling's agent. And as you know, I think that famously J.K. Rowling herself sent her books, the first Harry Potter book, The Philosopher's Stone, to 8 publishers before the head of Bloomsbury actually took the script home and his daughter read it and says, this book is so exciting. It's possibly one of the best books I could have read. And that's how that came to print. And Dr. Zeus had 27 goes of trying to get a publisher before he got going.
So you're in good company.
Yeah, they're in very good company. And it's an appalling journey because their lingo is like they have their talent. But if they don't like the script, it goes in the slush pile. So we got to all these letters back. I mean, you expected them, and they were quite funny for a while. So we had, I can read you one response, was, unfortunately, we did not feel enthusiastic enough to take this further. Ouch. And the other one wrote, this is Neil, I have to say, drop names. I wrote, Dear Neil, I know you love soccer, but this is a book about ballet, and it's very funny. Anyway, we got back, our focus is on those manuscripts we feel most passionately about. So we get all these snotty things back from England that I think actually are standard letters. So eventually, Laura's lovely husband now said, you know what, you've got to self-publish. Just because we had so much faith in our book. And we took her, and in fact, this is what I've got to say about the local industry. People are so kind about sharing. I think in places like New York and in London, people are very cutthroat. But here, professionals just share info and friends are encouraging and fellow authors are encouraging. So we'd shown it to quite a few professionals here who all said, this has got legs and we're excited by it. So that gave us a lot of encouragement.
That's fantastic. And of course, you got the first book out just in time for Christmas. I know we've been trying since then to get a date. I'm sorry it's taken so long to get you on air. From what you've said, Laura, book 2 already well underway. Is it close to being printed or already going to print?
No, not yet, but well underway. We are so excited for Ballet Betty and the Overambitious Gecko to hit the shelves. And we have had so much fun creating the second book and are so excited by it.
What sort of feedback have you had from the readers of book 1?
Such great feedback. Everyone has been so encouraging. They love the humor, like you've mentioned. The parents can relate, the kids. I mean, some kiddies have sent photos through. They've dressed up as Betty for book day, and they have found a fluffy friend in their cupboard to be Kevin. And it's so nice to see, like, that they're enthusiastic and excited about it. And we've had a very positive response. So it's been great.
Fantastic. Well, the book is aimed at readers in the sort of 3 to 8 year old category. So you can either give it to them to read for themselves if they're a slightly older reader, or of course, enjoy the joy of reading it with them, which is much more fun. Lisa, final question is where our audience gets hold of a copy if they haven't yet met Ballet Betty.
So Betty's available, I'm so pleased to say, at all leading bookstores. So Exclusives, Wordsworth, they've all got it. And if they don't have a copy on the shelf, you can just ask the bookshop to order it for you.
Okay, and the cost is 195 Rand a copy. So if they haven't got it on shelf, ask for Ballet Betty Lands a Plum Roll, and soon to be followed by Ballet Betty and the Overambitious Gecko. Can't wait to read that one. Lisa and Laura, thank you both so much for joining us today, and good luck. I hope that this continues to be a partnership and friendship that brings you and your readers joy going forward. Thanks so much for sharing the story with us.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Lisa Bye. Templeton and Laura Bozenberg. Laura, of course, a former principal dancer at Cape Town City Ballet, and Lisa, a photojournalist and writer, the co-creators of Ballet Betty Lands a Plum Roll, the first book already out and available to buy with more to follow. An absolutely delightful story with a lovely sense of humor to it. And if you're looking for something to read to your grandchildren or children, it's a yes from me. You can also pop an email to balletbettybooks@gmail.com if you're struggling to find a copy. balletbettybooks@gmail.com. And while we're talking children's books, I just want to give you a heads up that City of Cape Town has launched a very cute campaign for the winter months that is designed to get kids into the libraries and reading. It's called the Rainy Day Bingo Winter Reading Program. It actually kicked off on Tuesday already, aimed at the younger readers ages 4 to 12. And it's basically a bingo card, but instead of drawing numbers out of a hat, patrons have got to read a different genre of book to tick off each block on their card. And if you go off to your local library and ask for the Rainy Day Bingo sheet, you'll get the sheet. You'll also get a little activity book with some coloring in and word mazes and scrambles and things like that, some little crafty things for the kids to play with alongside the reading. And then when your child takes their books back to the library and wants to tick off a line on their bingo sheet, please remind them to go and say bingo loudly to the librarian. For every row that they complete on that sheet, they get entered into a lucky draw to possibly win an activity pack. So lots of incentive to get them reading just for the joy of it, and to hopefully strengthen the habit of reading for pleasure and to encourage a lifelong love of reading. So that is the Rainy Day Bingo Winter Reading Program, which is running now at all of the City of Cape Town libraries. My final book club tip of the week is for the adult readers in the audience. I know from previous conversations that we have a lot of Lucinda Riley fans in the audience. And if you weren't already aware of it, let me let you know that the latest book in the Seven Sisters series has just hit the shelves in South Africa. It's called The Missing Sister. It is number 7. It is retailing at 299 Rand a copy, and you will find it on shelf now in your nearest bookstore. So go and grab it if you want to do some reading this weekend. We're going to go back to adult books in next week's book club segment. I've got a fabulous new local fiction release to share with you called Go Away Birds. I devoured it almost in one sitting last weekend. Really looking forward to chatting to the author, Michelle Edward, who will be my guest for book club next Friday.